Now, India gears up for a monumental election with Prime Minister Narendra Modi and the BJP at the forefront. But what are the dynamics shaping this electoral battleground? And we speak to this afternoon Sanjay Kapoor, prominent foreign policy specialist and writer at Hard News. From Modi's popularity to concerns about the nation's direction under his leadership, we're going to look at some of the key players, ideologies, and maybe some of the controversies that are driving the discourse as well. Sanjay, good afternoon. Thank you for your patience and welcome.
Good afternoon from Delhi, and thanks for inviting me to speak with you.
It's always a pleasure to speak to you, Sanjay. So this is India's massive election that's looming. Could you provide us with an overview of how this intricate process works and what makes it significant globally?
You know, this is an election where, as somebody pointed out, the sum total of seven countries we are going to polls is actually equal to how many Indians will go to polls. It's about 963 million Indians will vote on the train for about 2 months, beginning from the 19th of April till the 4th of June when the results will come out. He's been staggered in seven phases all over the country. And this is going to be also a time when there's going to be extreme heat. You know, there's going to be a heat wave in large parts of India. And then it's going to be, display the resolve of people to step out and exercise their democratic right. So in a certain way, it is going to be significant, primarily because Prime Minister Modi is seeking a third term of the parliament. And it's a move which people fear is going to strengthen the hold of the Hindutva forces that want to take India towards the further right, towards making India a Hindu state, from a secular, a constitutionally mandated secular constitution that was given way back in 1947. So compared to that, the fear is that India will be dragged in that direction, primarily because the Prime Minister and the BJP would think that they have the mandate to do pretty much what they want with the constitution, and there is no confusion in anybody's mind as to what Mr. Modi and his party stands for. He built a temple in Ayodhya, Ram temple, which is the so-called the face of aggressive Hindutva, and that was built on the after the demolition of Babri Masjid, which is a contentious, controversial mosque, which was built and demolished way back in 1992. And this construction of the temple is a manifestation of what Mr. Modi and his party will be doing in the coming days. There are many temples which have in a certain way come to grief during the time when the Mughals used to go over there. So many of them want to be rebuilt, resurrected by the government, and this is a recipe for a disaster and conflict in a multi-ethnic, multi-religious country.
Now, on the other side of the political spectrum, you have Rahul Gandhi, the Congress Party, and the broader opposition alliance. How do you assess their standing, their strategies that are leading up to the election?
It is a very tricky thing to say, because what has really happened is the media is entirely controlled. Media plus the pollsters plus every possible voice that emerges on politics is controlled by the BJP. So it's very difficult to ascertain exactly what is the kind of support that the Congress enjoys. Congress did something interesting for a change. They decided to forge a alliance, which was to serve as a countervailing force to the BJP. They made an India alliance comprising of 26 or they started off with 28 regional parties, but now they're reduced to 26 or 27. And they thought that, you know, they could be in a position to beat them. So even now, it's a toss-up in many states. There is a view that the BJP might lose some of the seats in the southern part of India, where they got in the state of Karnataka, Bangalore, the IT capital of India. And they could also lose some seats in different North Indian states. So that could bring down the total quite a bit. But this all has to be seen, because there is a big controversy now which is raging about whether the electronic voting machines can be really relied upon. The matter is with the Supreme Court. It comes up on the 15th of April, and the opposition is demanding that the votes which are counted by the electronic voting machine should be tallied with another backup machine, which is called the VVPAT, which is actually voter verified or it failed, and they have to be matched with each other. But then the allegation is that the VVPAT and EVM votes don't match with each other, and that is a recipe for all kinds of, you can say, electoral malpractice.
Yes.
And the demand from the opposition is if the EVM and VVPAT can be aligned in a manner where they can be counted 100%, then they could be, the malpractice can be stopped. But it remains to be seen whether the Supreme Court would have the courage or they would have the time to do it, because invariably what happens whenever this matter has come up, the Election Commission has, said that they would not like to do it because it would take a lot of time. But when you want to have a fair and, decent election, time is not so important as the integrity of the process.
Now, the controversial citizenship law has sparked widespread debate and protests. What are the underlying tensions surrounding this law, and how might it also impact the electoral landscape?
So, Citizen Amendment Act, if you remember, I think I spoke with your radio station at that time, point of time also. In 2019-2020, was a big issue. There was a large protest all over the country. And it is actually goes contrary to the spirit of the Indian Constitution, which is secular, and it prevents people of other denominations who belong to who are from the neighboring areas of Pakistan, or Bangladesh, or Afghanistan, especially the Muslims who are victimized, to seek citizenship in India. So what the Citizen Amendment Act has done is to ensure that only the non-Muslims get citizenship in this country. There is also the other aspect of the National Register of Citizens, which is supposed to find out the origin of the people who will come here and whose citizenship can be challenged or not challenged depending upon whether they belong to India or to Bangladesh. So these are issues which are going to cause a great amount of unease and turmoil in the society, because at one point in time nobody really bothered about their papers pertaining to birth or death or their citizenship, and now those kind of documents are being demanded by the government, and I'm sure it will cause, as soon as the new government comes in, cause a great amount of turmoil. In the states where it is going to have an impact are mostly northeastern states like Assam and the Seven Sisters, where there's been a constant movement of people coming in from Bangladesh and neighboring areas, and they are the ones who will be waiting with bated breath about the outcome of the election. If the BJP does badly, there is hope that the CA would be challenged by the new government which will come in. If it doesn't, then you probably have the same situation getting worse with the BJP forcing the CAA and NRC to be implemented aggressively.
Well, thank you so much. We've run out of time. Interesting to see what's happening in India. Always different layers that come through in the interviews that we have with you. So many things to talk about. But we appreciate you making
come
the time for us this afternoon. I beg your pardon?
I said come again to me in the next few days. I could be able to tell you what is really happening on the ground.
Absolutely. We'll do that. Thank you so much for your time, Sanjay. Bye-bye. And that was Sanjay Kapoor, foreign policy specialist focused on India and writer at Hard News, talking to us about what's happening as the Indian elections come up on the 19th of April.